Hey everybody, Simone from The Polygon Show here. This is our last bonus episode of the year. Bonus episode. Filler episode? I don't know what this is. This is a rerun from the history of fun. It is about Krampus, who's like bad Santa, but don't take my explanation for it. Listen to the episode and find out what is the truth after all. Next week, you are going to hear our voices again, the Polygon Show voices, because we are doing our end of the year episode. It is our classic awards show where we talk about all the games and movies that came out this year and give them awards based on categories that no one else, no other podcast will give the awards that we're giving next week. So make sure you stay tuned for that. And thank you so much for listening to this episode of the History of Fun reruns on the Polygon Show feed.
Hello and welcome to the History of Fun, where we explore the hidden backstories of the things you love. My name is Russ Frostick, and today I'm joined by Allegra Frank. Hello, Allegra.
Hello, Russ.
Oh, that's my voice. I'm a newscaster. And I'm also joined by Chris Plant, who is our expert today on a very interesting topic. And a topic that I wouldn't say is, quote, fun, but I think it's fun and
it's incredibly
silly.
Fun.
Oh, okay. I'm really excited.
I will get you there. Because I am here to defend the fun of my topic.
Okay.
Normally, I would do kind of the elevator pitch, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But today,
you did this, you didn't do one either. So now you're giving up on that entirely. 2 weeks.
Oh, my God. No, this is kind of that. It's still kind of the same thing. Go with me. I'm gonna read an excerpt from the New York Times.
Okay.
From a long time ago. Okay. Imagine the scene on St. Nicholas Eve in a farmhouse in Austria, Switzerland.
What year is
this? South Germany, 1934.
Okay.
It's 1934. The children tremble with expectancy. They mumble their catechism over and over again, for they must recite it to the saint. That's St. Nicholas. A few candles send strange shadows trooping around the dim room. Outdoors, the first winds of winter are whining. The door bolt rattles. And in strides Nicholas!
Yay.
Gold embroidered cape sparkling in the candle flicker, mitre towering on his head, long white beard tucked in his broad scarlet girdle, a mighty staff in one hand and the bishop's ring glittering on the other. The children still recite their catechism. The ready ones receive his blessing and sweetmeat trifles. Those who stumble over their phrases, however, had better beware, for behind the good saint and his servant, Necht Ruprecht, a shaggy monster shaped like a man with a skin of coal black fur, red satanic horns above its ears, protruding red eyes, and scarlet tongue that hangs hungrily out of its mouth. Around its waist is a clanking chain. On its back is a basket to carry off wayward children, and his right hand a rod. Ruprecht reproves the bad ones in a croaking voice and moves forward to seize them. But Nicholas intercedes, and they are saved. For this time. That is from the New York Times in December 1934. Can we just say New York Times? It was like just reading the good book right there.
Well, very poetic, I would say.
Great. Yeah, they were having fun.
Yeah,
they
man. Were.
And that was a long paragraph without any racism, which... good on them.
Do not worry. We will get there. And even as it turns out, there might have been something buried in there that we'll get to that still runs into it. Okay. Wouldn't be an episode of History of the Fun without it.
That is true. I did find it interesting that Santa tucks his beard into his girdle. Mm-hmm. Ooh, that seems dangerous.
Jeez.
So, interesting that you said Santa. That's going to be something that we're going to get into.
Is that not Santa?
He said St. Nicholas.
St. Nicholas.
What a different guy.
Father
That's
got to
be Santa.
Santa Claus, Santa. Not all of them are identical. They do all bring gifts, and they reward children for good behavior. But in areas where the topic of today's episode, Krampus is celebrated. St. Nicholas gives the good things to kids, but then bad children, they have to deal with Krampus. And he is the anti-Santa, where the good kids are getting rewarded, bad kids get kidnapped and terrified and thrown in like a lake, or in some cases, hell.
I thought they get thrown in his basket.
Well, that's, yeah, he puts them in the basket, and he's like, what am I going to do now that my basket's full of kids? And he's like, I don't know, empty them in a lake?
And all they had to do was mess up the catechism?
Boom, baby! No, they had to be like bad kids.
Okay.
But you could kind of tell because, you know, like a good kid would never mess up the catechism.
Obviously.
Anyway, thank you for humoring me. This is the origin of Krampus. What I'm going to do during this episode is first I'm going to teach us about Krampus. I'm going to...
Krampus. You Krampus. Keep saying it with an accent, but it's no, we're talking about Krampus, right?
Krampus.
Yeah, Krampus. Russ, can I remind you, Plant is the expert
Krampus.
Here.
Well, I want to make sure people know what we're talking about.
So we'll post this in a tweet for the listeners. There's a site that gives you all the pronunciations and all of the places that actually celebrate Krampus. They say it like that, and it's great. And then you get to the American one, and they're like, Krampus. Krampus? No, it's Krampus. So we're going to get some origins. We're going to learn about why Krampus is actually just a magnificent gift to the holidays for everybody, whether or not you live in an area that celebrates him. And then I'm going to do something extra special because this is the history of fun. I'm going to teach people how to celebrate Krampus Day so that they can have Krampus.
Krampus
in
has
their
a day?
Too. Yes, Krampus does.
Krampus.
So here's the origin. So there actually isn't a rock solid origin story of Krampus. A number of anthropologists and historians believe the character kind of morphed from pre-Christian Germanic pagan traditions. Some, and this is quoting something that we'll get to shortly, believe Krampus derives from basically pagan supernatural beliefs that were assimilated with the more blunt idea of the Christian devil. There were already a lot of pagan celebrations that were focused on December 22nd, which is the longest night of the year. And those involved goat-like figures similar to Krampus. The obvious one would be the Wiccan horned god, which is one of the main gods of Wiccan beliefs. And if you see a picture of it, you can kind of see the similarities. And we'll get into just specifically what Krampus looks like shortly. Though I saw this and I didn't see it anywhere else, but it's interesting. The National Geographic claims Krampus is believed to be the son of hell in Norse mythology.
Oh, that doesn't sound right.
No, it really doesn't. and it's weird because I could not find it anywhere else, but the National Geographic did publish a book on Krampus in German. So there might just be a lot more information that they have access to. Something that I'll be talking about also is there's not a lot of information on Krampus in English, which is kind of a problem.
So you learned all sorts of languages just for this episode.
Why do you think I'm pronouncing it so well? Somebody's going to be very upset on how I'm botching it. So a report from 1975 by anthropologist John J. Honigman explains how Austrian culture kind of saw this merging of Christian traditions, beginning with like St. Nicholas being introduced in the 11th century, and then also just pagan ideas that were popular in the region, like animal masked devils kind of merging, and they would first appear in medieval church plays. So it was something that was like extended across the year, and it could bubble up during certain holidays. We'll largely be talking about Krampus in Austria, because there's just so much more writing on it. Kind of like what happened with us when we were talking about trick-or-treating in Ireland. It's like, really, you could, with Krampus, you could go in like a million different directions because each of these regions kind of has its own variation on it. And that's why at the very top, you notice that I said Nacht Ruprecht. There are so many variations on Santa's kind of assistants that are all kind of the same, in some ways very different depending on which. But Krampus is like a very, very popular one that runs adjacent to that one. Okay, so with that set, by the 17th century, Krampus had been paired with St. Nicholas Day Eve on December 5th. And they basically, Krampus and St. Nicholas are this duo scouting together for good and bad children, which when I see that written on an outline is really gross and upsetting. Just like, yo, you got any kids? Cool.
But it's on December 5th?
Yeah, so, what's up with that?
So here's why that works. And why I said this is different than Santa Claus. Do you know about St. Nicholas Day?
No.
No.
So, oh, thank goodness you have a by birth Catholic in your presence. St. Nicholas Day is a separate holiday, and it's on the feast day of St. Nicholas. It's like each saint has, most saints have a feast day in the Catholic Church. And St. Nicholas is actually earlier in December, unless you're talking about certain Eastern forms of Christianity and Catholicism, but I won't go deep into that. Not relevant. Going too deep. I'm sorry. Pulling it back. but December 6th would be St. Nicholas Day, and the way you would celebrate that, especially in like American Catholic households, is you would put your shoes out on December 5th night, and you might put like hay in them for St. Nicholas's horse. Oh, or reindeer, depending on how far they perverted the original idea.
And then
they would eat that in St. Nicholas in like, as a symbol of gratitude for you being a good child, would leave little gifts or coins or like treats in your
shoes. Sounds like Christmas light is what it sounds like.
It really is, yeah. I mean, it's like a way to like sneak in maybe one more toy, you know, ahead of Christmas where you're like, oh, I really want this thing. I don't think I can wait till Christmas.
Wow, yeah, I didn't know.
Red Dead now, baby. Put it in my shoes.
I didn't know anything about this.
Yeah, so the idea is that is the morning of December 6th, the night before, would be when Krampus night is happening.
Okay.
Okay, so that was the 17th century. Rapidly, it expands. It's now spread across Austria and what would be the Habsburg Empire. So Croatia, Hungary, Slovenia, Slovakia, Czech Republic. Lots of other Alpine regions, too, but those are the biggies. And what's weird is I mentioned that there's not a lot of writing on this in English. If you go for, like, do the, you know, quick hit blog post across the internet of like, hey, Krampus exists, they all cite the same piece from 1958 by Maurice Bruce, and it's literally a four paragraph chunk of a history book called The Krampus in Styria, and it effectively describes him talking about the horns, the shaggy black hair, that he wields birch twigs, and that's it. And it's like, that is kind of, for in the Western region, seems to be the origin of him. And in terms of like people in the States knowing what Krampus even is. And even then, it's like, yeah, it's Krampus, but it could also be Bartle. It could be getting into racial variations of Bartle.
So, but it, effectively, all of them just boil down to, like, cautionary tale, if you're a jerk, this happens.
Yeah, that's kind of the, it, like I said, it's less about, oh, you're gonna get rewards for being a good kid, and more like, hey, don't be a little, you know, bleep.
Yeah.
Family show. Because this like, furry demon spawn will come and get you. And here's why you should be afraid. This is the look of Krampus. Or Krampus. It's a lumbering half-goat demon.
Which half?
He kind of looks like a goat if you broke all of its bones and then made it stand like a human. Like it had claws. And it stands on two legs as cloven hooves, goat horns.
Goat face?
Yeah, well, like monster face. Like a demon dog. Almost.
Does it have those creepy goat keyhole eyes?
Kind of, but like dead.
Yeah.
And you know how like some dogs have that like cute tongue where it dangles out of their mouth, but you're like, oh, actually that's sad. It's something's wrong with it. It has that too, but it's this like big black tongue, and it's kind of like a giraffe or a snake's tongue, depending on how they design it. And it just
giraffe
like
tongues are cute.
It just like walls out of its mouth at all times.
Snake then, tongues are gross.
In some versions of it, it has like a giant lizard like tail.
Blah.
Yeah.
I don't know. He seems kind of cool.
No, he's scary.
This is from Time Magazine in 1953, a description of it. Also, I think this is probably culturally insensitive, but I don't know. It begins, as little Hans or Fritza, cowering behind his mother's skirts, diffidently proclaims his virtue, Krampus rattles a huge chain or lashes the air with a switch in menacing disbelief. Sometimes he even comes equipped with a large basket in which to carry off young people whose stories clearly don't wash.
I like that no matter what, he still shows up. Like, he's always, even if you are the nicest person ever, he's still got to come and see and prove, like, you have to prove it to him.
Sure, yeah. I mean, that's how you make it menacing.
Because, like, Santa, whatever, shows up while you're sleeping, you wake up and the milk is gone, right? But there's no visual evidence of him. But here they're saying Krampus shows up at your house, stares you dead in the eye and is like, recite your favorite Bible verse or else. That seems like provable. Like they could be like, yeah, that's not really happening.
Yeah, that's true. This is
it
from,
seems like they haven't really thought it through.
This is from that piece that I told you that everybody cites. I'm from Bruce. The birch, apart from its phallic significance, may have a connection with the initiation rites of certain witch covens. Rites which entailed binding and scourging as a form of mock death. The chains could have been introduced in a Christian attempt to, quote, bind the devil. But again, they could be a remnant of a pagan initiation rites. The bit about the phallic significance, I immediately was like, tell me more.
Yes.
What's that about? And as far as I can tell, I believe in the Wiccan comparison is birch branches, or they were called rutin, were associated with incubi.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there you
go. Sex devils.
Now you can cue the incubus. And drive.
No, we don't have the rights.
I've actually never heard an incubus song, by the way, but that's someday. A different episode.
That's a very different episode. This is the history of fun. The chains can have bells attached to make noise. And the basket on his back can also be a large sack or a wash tub. A claim on Omics Group, which is kind of like Wikipedia, but for like actual research. yeah, it's wild. Suggested the abduction of children dates back to the abduction of Northern Europeans by the Barbary slave trade. Whoa. But the citation, while giving it gives a history book, didn't offer a page number or a quote. So that will be today's bing, 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 giant fact with a huge grain of salt. We're not trying to take that for what it is. But Omics Group does correctly note that abducting kids is a recurring thing amongst St. Nicholas cohorts. And here it is. Here's the day's episode of Getting Into the Racist Stuff. Most notably, Zwart Piet, or as some people might know him, Black Peter, which this is the part of the episode where we run into people justifying blackface because they've been doing it for the past hundreds and hundreds of years.
Weesh.
Yeah, it's not good. He's like a, the look of him is like a court musician.
He's in Holland, right?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah. And everybody paints their faces black to dress up as him. Yeah, which is, again, like, not limited to that saint. It's a whole thing. So, there we go. Now you know what Krampus looks like. We're going to talk about the fall of Krampus. You might think, Krampus, I've just heard about him. I've just learned about him. He seems
to be doing great.
How could he be doomed? Well, I'm glad you asked, because the answer is Nazis.
Oh no, isn't it always?
After the 1934 Austrian Civil War, Krampus was prohibited by the ruling parties, which is effectively to say fascists. And this is the New York Times on December 11th, 1934. This is long. I apologize up front. So I'm going to take a sip of water. You want to fill for me?
Yeah. So in 1934, times were rough.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that. That historical context. I'm going to read the whole article because it is perfect and it just gets better the further we go. So I know that I see the look on your face right now, Fresh. You're skeptical.
Yeah.
Trust me.
Okay.
December 11th, 1934. The headline is Krampus, disliked in fascist Austria. The deck is genial black and red devil, symbol of Christmas fun, is frowned upon. The subhead is Santa Claus is licensed.
What?
What?
But then the second deck is, and Leanne's, the police have orders to see that he, Santa Claus, behaves at family parties.
Wow.
You might think that can't be real. The police can't be checking in on every Santa Claus party. Just you wait. Here it is. The Unkenquid have, having succeeded in sowing Austria as thickly with the verboten orders as Germany itself, are seeking for new evils to conquer. No longer is that pleasant Austria alive, of which it used to be said, while in England, everything is allowed, which is not expressly forbidden. And in Germany, everything is verboten, which is not expressly allowed. Here in Austria, everything which is expressly forbidden is allowed. I like that. Austria sounded fun before fascists. Nowadays, it might be said that everything which was allowed in the Austrian Republic is expressly forbidden in fascist Austria. Get them, New York Times.
I don't know if I like that construction, but yeah, they thought they were a little too clever.
Loses its punchiness. Now, the very virtuous are massing for an attack on the harmless, if not necessary, Krampus, the genial black and red devil who brings candles and delights to children, which St. Nicholas, Santa Claus, used to bring. So what you might have noticed here is over all of the time that we've talked about this, Krampus has become so loved that people are like basically using him as a replacement for Santa Claus.
Oh, so he's like an anti-hero.
He's so boring that people are like, yeah, I'm all about that monster who's going to abduct my children and throw them in hellfire.
That's awesome.
Originally, St. Nicholas, with bishops Crook and Mitre, brought the gifts accompanied by the Krampus, whose office it was to birch the naughty children and to carry off the really bad ones in a sack. Nowadays, the bishop takes a backseat, and all Vienna shop windows are aflame with a grinning red and black Krampus on postcards, chocolate boxes, modeled in biscuits or elaborate hors d'oeuvres.
He was the Hello Kitty of his time.
And Krampus balls are the first sign of Christmas jollification. This will not do, says Catholic Leben, the organ of the Austrian Catholic Union, which has discovered that, are you ready for it? Red Krampus is red inwardly as well as outwardly.
I don't know what that means.
Jesus, this is so
weird. The wicked socialist Democrats.
Oh, it's a communist thing.
Quote, okay. Particularly since the socialists came to power, says the paper in all solemnity, a red-tailed, long-tongued devil has replaced the venerable prince of the church. The devil seeks to destroy what the saint created with love. Christians are called upon to boycott poor Krampus.
Boo.
The prefect of Lienz, the capital of East Tyrol, has forbidden anyone to visit Krampus dances. Anyone who wishes to play the role of Santa Claus in family parties has to apply for a license from the mayor.
Oh my god.
The police have been given orders to see that Santa Claus, duly licensed, behaves himself properly and to arrest the devil at sight. Fascists have no fun.
That is terrible.
Fascists suck. But you would think, like, okay, that's fascism, right? And Nazis. They're awful. Surely, immediately after they're gone, people are like, what up? Krampus is back. No. False.
Aww.
Anti-Krampus sentiment continues well after World War II. From 1953 Time magazine, head of Vienna's kindergarten system, Dr. Ernst Kotbar, warned parents that the, quote, effect of an interview with Krampus might well leave their children scarred for life. Kotbauer distributed this warning in a leaflet titled, "Krampus is an evil man." Time magazine cites a local Vienna paper where they say, "There is too much fear in the world already. Unemployment, high taxes, not to mention the atom bombs. Let's begin by throwing out Krampus."
It does require a level of, like, comfort in the, I don't know. It's obviously an ironic concept that you have this, like, evil creature who becomes, like, this, it's like, you know, the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Yeah.
But, so I get all of in, like, times of war, it might be tough to, like,
well,
get hyped.
I'm glad that you said that, because you're setting me up for something right here.
All part of the plan.
So there's now, these days, Krampus is huge, especially in Austria. There is now an annual national Krampus celebration. And according to a 2013 report in Christian Science Monitor, a single Krampus run in Graz had 35,000 attendants.
Wait, what's a Krampus run?
Oh, we're going to get to that. But right now, just imagine people dressed as Krampus running.
Oh, it's like SantaCon. Got it. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
SantaCon.
According to the Telegraph, and here's what you set me up for. In 2015, the town of Lienz worried that celebration would terrify asylum seekers from Afghanistan and Syria. For a moment, they thought, hey, we got to cancel this parade. This is utterly horrifying.
Yeah, it requires a lot of context.
Yeah. But then they were like, oh, dang. If we cancel this, all of the locals are going to, like, be so PO'd at the asylum seekers.
Mm-hmm.
So they put together basically Krampus education seminars, and around a dozen children from the refugee families were invited to participate in a presentation of the props and costumes involved in the parade in advance. And so that they, that way they'd be like, oh, I guess this isn't horrifying because you, like, made it boring schoolwork.
Yeah, that's very smart. I like that idea.
Can I just say, this has taken so many ludicrous turns.
Isn't it?
It's fascinating.
Krampus is a gift. Oh, it's in here. I'm going to talk about how it came to the United States, which is more ludicrous. This is a piece by the National Geographic that credits art director Monte Beauchamp for making Christmas big in the U.S., this is a quote. After a collector introduced him to Krampus postcards from the 19th and 20th century, Beauchamp published some in two issues of his magazine, Blab, which has an exclamation point.
Sure.
And followed that with two books of Krampus cards in 2004 and 2010. After that first book, a Los Angeles art gallery was like, hey, we love this guy.
Bring
and
more
they worked
of him.
Together to, like, do a Krampus-inspired exhibition where a whole bunch of artists were asked to, like, create things inspired by those postcards. And from there, it just, like, takes off, right? It's in, like, a big city. People see it. Suddenly, it's this, like, cool thing that is anti-Christmas but Christmas. And like you said, it's the anti-hero fun. It's like, oh, I can celebrate this thing while also being kind of edgy.
Mm-hmm.
And it just takes off, like, wildfire. Within years of that gallery exhibition, Krampus runs are happening in the States, Krampus merchandise is popping up in stores, and there's a Krampus movie starring Adam Scott.
Hey, oh, my boy.
Called Krampus.
Yeah.
Pronounced Krampus. So I personally am pro Krampus. And that's why I'm gonna help everybody celebrate him. He totally gets under the skin of Nazis and fascists.
Yep.
Great. He is all at once Christian, secular, and pagan. So everybody's pretty much invited. And he's, like, pagan in a time when pagan and mystical culture is, like, having this boom because it's a reprieve from everything that's awful in the world. And you can see reporting on this by Amanda Hess at the New York Times. I would encourage you to Google it. And it's like invite secular folks to celebrate Christmas and the holiday season without having to really celebrate it. And anytime that there's like a good secular hero, I'm all for it.
The bad boy of Christmas.
Sure, the bad boy of Christmas. Also, I am like a big fan of people finding ways to have fun being scared that are like safe. Right, like it's like healthy and empowering, like reading an R.L. Stein book to be able to confront your fears, but then also be like, oh, but also we're having fun. Like this thing is absolutely terrifying and it abducts children, but like it's not actually gonna hurt anybody. Again, unlike the rest of the world where you like you get on Twitter and you're like, these things are horrifying and they will make people's lives actually worse. So big fan of safe fear versus real fear.
Although I would say there's probably an age where it's appropriate to be informed of Krampus. And I would say, don't tell babies about Krampus.
Yeah, cowards.
I don't know how old a baby needs to be before Krampus becomes a good idea to tell them, but
I'm dressing my baby up as Krampus.
Yeah, but your baby doesn't really follow the intricacies of like the implications babies of being kidnapped by a monster. Sure, and thrown into a lake.
Well, I whisper that into his ear, but you're right. He
okay, good.
Get it.
So he'll know that.
Lan, I think you make like a good argument for why we should be pro Krampus, but he's just so scary looking.
He is, but he's going to become harmless. Less scary as we talk about how you're going to celebrate Krampus night.
He's like Sweetums.
He is. Also, there are cute versions of him.
Oh, thank God.
Which we can share on the Twitter
by Sanrio.
Yes, like that. here's how to celebrate. First off, it's called Krampusnacht, Krampus Night.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Remember, again, typically December 5th, the night of December 5th, this is St. Nicholas Day Eve. And the best part is, if you're already doing this, put your shoes out the next morning, get free candy. Assuming somebody will put it there for you. Traditionally, it would be celebrated with a parade in which the participants in Europe, mostly men, dress up as Krampus. But again, these are now held in the U.S. And if you Google it, you'll probably find one near you. They're surprisingly common. There are also the Krampus runs that we talked about, which are slightly different. And those are called Krampuslauf. And these are, like, you already made the comparison, Frosh. Basically, SantaCon is a ripoff of a Krampuslauf.
I do like it because it probably requires more effort than SantaCon, where you just see people like in Santa hats, like kind of half-assing it. But here, you really have to go out to like convince people that you're dressed as Krampus.
Yeah, you have to get like a really scary mask, maybe make one. Sometimes people make them out of like wood. These are somewhere between parades and runs and pub crawls. People dress up as Krampus. They get totally wasted. Yeah. They run through the streets. It is like pretty much acceptable as far as I can tell. And looking at videos and photos of this in Europe to terrify children if they are somehow still out at night. Like that's part of it. And it's customary to serve participants fruity brandy schnapps. Yeah. You can also send Krampuskarten, which are greeting cards featuring Krampus. Postcards actually may be responsible for the original rise of Krampus, like that period where he becomes even bigger than Saint Nick. This is from a separate piece from National Geographic. Also, word up, National Geographic is on the Krampus beat. They've written like 20
things.
Hitting
that beat hard, Nat Geo.
Yeah, wow.
You can tell that they must have like found some SEO gold here because there's about 17 different stories that they've done.
They have all those Bigfoot shows. It seems like they should go after this one as well.
You know, that's true. manufacturers started to, this is a quote from the piece. Manufacturers started to commercialize Krampus after 1890 when the Austrian government relinquished control over the nation's postcard production, causing the industry to flourish. Between then and World War I, German companies sold Krampus Christmas cards in Germany, Austria, and other countries, often with slogans like, I'm going to try, Gruß vom Krampus, greetings from Krampus, or Rob Syme, be good.
My new favorite thing is plant reading German.
Thank you. It's all, so I think the easiest way is, like, maybe you aren't going to be able to find a parade or, like, a run, right? But if you make it just, like, a night of arts and crafts, that's the best way to do it. Because then you're not going out being scared by other Krampus people, you know? Mm. You can put the movie on to get that fun going. You could find, like, an old Halloween costume and make your own masks with paper. Put some spiced brandy on the stove or, like, something that doesn't have alcohol in it for children. and you can make cards. And you can make them probably better than they did in the past because I looked at some of them, and they tend to get very raunchy. A lot of them, Krampus is not stealing children. He's definitely stealing books from the women. And his tongue is, like, not, it's gross.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So, if you want a trip, Google that. Parental warning advised. So that's it. Want to give some shout-outs. Smithsonian Mag, the Christian Science Monitor, Omix Group, just gobs of the various people we cited, Blab. And yeah, I think the story of Krampus, I was really excited for this, and it was far more interesting than I even really expected it to be.
I am also very surprised at how big and interesting it is. I did know about the Adam Scott movie.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Krampus appears in the video game Don't Starve. Mm-hmm. If you're too bad, he shows up. That was basically all I really knew. A quick note about Adam Scott movie ends hilariously. I'm not going to spoil it for anyone, but it really has one of the best horror movie endings ever. Ooh. So I highly recommend you watch that one.
I'm going to watch it.
Cool.
But yeah, that was great, Plant. Well done.
I have two reader-only memories.
Oh, good.
Do you want to do the song?
Sure. Reader only memories with Krampus.
Was that you trying to be German?
Yes.
Yes.
My last name means breakfast. It's fine.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, here we go. This is from STFN, or Zerstrubar, on Twitter. My grandpa grew up with St. Nicholas's evil companion, Nachtruprecht, who, as we've already discussed, is similar to Krampus. So he would kind of play both as our Santa, and he wore this mask, which we will share on the account once this episode goes live. It is deeply upsetting. It just looks like a Santa mask, but it's so dead behind the eyes that you immediately understand how he could be both. And also, longtime listener Evan Weston made a tabletop RPG a few years ago, and it's a Christmas tabletop RPG, and you can play it as Krampus, and it's free. Huh? So we'll also share that, so people can give that a try.
If that sounds like a good night activity.
And because we don't have a lot of reader-only memories, one other thing I would encourage everybody to do is look up Christmas ghost stories if you are in the mood for some, like, spookiness this season. Christmas ghost stories were actually a huge, huge thing in Europe. Christmas Carol is, like, the best known
one. Yeah, I know that one.
Uh-huh.
But there are all sorts of great Christmas ghost stories, many by authors you might already know. And I'm not going to give, like, specifics. Maybe I can share some on Twitter, sharing some of my faves. But again, if you want to go down a Google hole, that will, I think, add that extra spookiness to your holiday season. Do that.
Yay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chris Plant.
I feel like you just continue to make me afraid of the Krampus, but I will try to love it for
you. No, he seems great. I'm fully on board with Krampus now. I won't say it the way you say it just because I'm a Mario kind of guy and I say Krampus, but I love him. He's great. Thank you, Chris Plant, and thank you for listening to another episode of The History of Fun. If you wouldn't mind and you haven't done so yet, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts. We always appreciate and see those reviews, and we appreciate you doing that and taking the time. Also, let everyone know about the show on Twitter, if you wouldn't mind. You can also follow each of us on Twitter, Legs Frank for Allegra. I'm at Russ Frostick, and Chris Plant is at Plant, with an E at the end. Otherwise, we will be back next week for more fun and adventure in the History of Fun, where we explore the hidden backstories of the things you love. Leave those tips.